This is Booth 46, live from Petorino's. Not just in the heart of the Loop, but the heart of the Loop. Surrounded by theater, culture, and Chicago's movers and shakers. Each episode brings you, as Irv Kupcinet used to say,
the lively art of conversation.
Local vibes, real conversations, and fresh ideas for experiencing the city. So pull up a chair, lean in, and let's dive into the stories that shape Chicago.
Once again, welcome to another podcast from Petorino's Restaurant. And we are doing this live from the restaurant, which is kind of an interesting concept. But I have two people here who have done everything on a stage. Well, maybe I shouldn't, not everything on a stage. Mark and Ann Burnell are here. A round of applause, please. Now, if you happen to be in the Chicago area ever for the past several decades, you have, I am certain, whether you know it or not, seen both of these performers on a stage somewhere, in a restaurant, in a jazz club, somewhere, a cabaret setting. How long have you guys been doing this, Ann?
Over 30 years.
Yeah,
about okay. 32 and years. Okay, and
Ann? About 32?
Yeah, yeah.
Together? Yeah.
About, how did you guys meet?
On the Spirit
okay,
of
next
Chicago.
Question.
No, we can talk. I was the band leader on the Spirit of Chicago, and I... Mark was the substitute for the substitute piano player one night, and he asked me out.
And I was told to check her out, and she was singing on a different level of the boat. So we went to I thought the best thing would take her to see Buddy Charles, the greatest entertainer we've ever seen.
Yeah.
So we went there, and we weren't there for 20 minutes, and her purse was stolen. So that was our first
what?
Date. Yep.
I never knew that story.
But you know,
did they ever recover the purse?
No, but so that helped because she lost all her phone numbers of all the guys she had.
This was before cell phones, yes.
So you lost a purse, then ultimately gained a husband.
Yeah. And then the second date, he asked me out for a bike ride. And he said, we called up the day before, and he said, well, we can still go on the bike ride, but you're going to have to ride really slow. And he showed up on a unicycle.
I've been riding since I was 9.
Yeah. A unicycle?
Yeah, because his bike was stolen. So after the first two dates, we're like, we got to stop.
Crime-ridden. Yeah. It was a crime-ridden romance in the beginning, but it got way better.
I had to be careful if I'm ever with you guys to watch my wallet.
Right.
Have my wife watch her purse. So you are here in part because, frankly, if we're about to tell an amazing story, but without that story... You, at this point, are legendary Chicago performers. You truly are. And this lady here, one of the best voices in jazz. End of the story. I mean, and you have CDs out, many, 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 many. And it performed all over the world, and we'll talk about some of that. Okay. However, there's more to the story in this case. So I will let you tell it. I know you have a history. I'll just kind of kick it off for you, of having seizures. And then they got worse, and tell me what happened from there.
The seizures happened because of a head injury when I was a freshman in college. I fell backwards in the grass, and there was a manhole cover in the grass. Lucky me. So when these seizures started, these short ones started to happen a few years ago, they were drug resistant. So things were getting really bad. And
you would be on stage performing, and it might happen?
It happened three times on stage. But I was, you know, getting just a few of them a month, and then last January I had 15 of them. And lucky us ran into our friend Pete Sajewski, the drummer that used to play at the Tortoise Club with me. And he
and you were down in Florida at that time?
Yeah, we were in Florida at the time. We were touring, you know, we were touring our new album. And Pete happened to know...
And the name of that new album?
This could be the start of something big.
Yep.
Yep. And Pete happened to know, he went to college and high school with Dr.
Brazes,
who used to be the head of neuro at Mayo Clinic. That's how I got into Mayo Clinic. Yeah. So it was a clinical trial, and I was wide awake during the second of the three surgeries. And I had a keyboard in my...
I need to slow you down there. So, because we can't take that for granted.
No.
You're having surgery, brain surgery. not on an elbow, but brain surgery, and you've got a keyboard there.
In my lap.
And is it true that those in the operating room, you charged a cover charge?
We should have.
One of the doctors was dancing. Huh?
Yeah. The nurses
really?
All came in, and yeah. It was
during surgery.
Not
it,
long.
It was actually on Easter, so there was like an Easter bunny visiting, a couple of nurses, you know, people bringing eggs. It was very funny.
But yeah. Why did the doctors want to keep you awake during surgery?
Well, this is the reason, because music uses more parts of your brain than any other activity. And they wanted me to play, since I'm a professional musician, they wanted me to play, make music while during the brain surgery so they wouldn't burn any of the brain cells active while making music.
Right.
So they said, don't play any easy songs. There's no nursery rhymes here. Play some, you know. So we did some bebop and really difficult songs.
Yeah. Now, Anne, you often accompany your mm-hmm. husband, Mark, while he plays. You weren't doing that, were you?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. We were
singing.
We were singing together.
Yeah.
What were you singing while he was having life-threatening, potentially, surgery?
Right.
What were you singing?
So just like all this, you know, Clifford Brown stuff, and it was, we were doing really fast tunes, and he was on a tiny little keyboard with two octaves, and he kept going up the keyboard and running out of notes and going back down. Yeah. It was very funny, but... They were ablating areas that were causing seizures. And so in order not to burn the good tissue, they had to have him doing this stuff, you know?
How was it that you weren't feeling anything?
There's no pain cells in the brain, so I wasn't feeling any pain cells at all.
How about when they cut, I don't want to get too graphic, but how about when they cut it open?
Oh, well, sure, after the surgery and they... filled the 14 holes with staples, I was in a lot of pain. I was on really good drugs, too.
They had like 200 wires going into 14 holes in his head. Yeah.
And I know about this in part because, and may have been the first one to talk about it.
You were.
Before
yeah.
the Tribune and the Sun-Times and everyone else wrote about it.
NBC.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for...
Oh, it's an amazing story that I still can't quite... wrap my head around, so to speak. So, there you are, playing songs. You're singing as your husband is having surgery that could have... It ended up great, obviously, but it didn't. You didn't know it was going to be that way. And when they first cut into you to prepare, you didn't feel anything? Post-surgery.
Yeah, he went under, and they drilled the holes. And then he had a lot of pain medicine. But then they implanted 200 or 180 or something like electrodes in different areas of his brain so they could watch it for about a week. And then they did the ablation. Yeah.
Oh.
So they were watching it we were there for a week and they were causing seizures, trying to see where they were happening, kind of like Google Maps, you know.
And is that when you look like... Don't be offended, sir. But you did look like Frankenstein. Or Conehead.
Conehead is what I look like.
Yeah,
because there were 200 wires coming out of my head.
Yeah.
And I was wrapped.
And at what point in time did you think, okay, this is going to work out well? Because after the surgery, you said you were in terrible pain. And about you, how did you think?
Well, we just had a lot of faith in the doctors that were doing it. The person who invented this brain mapping software, he was in the room. So, I don't know. We had a lot of confidence. They would meet every morning and come up with a plan. So they were really... There was so much attention to detail.
And I didn't mind
really
that it was...
other option.
I didn't mind that it was a clinical trial because there was no... I was at the end of the road. You know, I would have tried anything.
Yeah.
How did you know afterwards you still had your musical chops?
Well, they let us go a couple days later, and we flew home.
Say that again. They let you go
They let us. They released us from the hospital.
A couple days after brain surgery?
Yes.
What?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah,
and
I was surprised.
When we flew home, I made a beeline for the piano to see if I could remember anything. And I was so lucky I could.
What was the first song you played?
I have no idea, but everything I tried, I remembered. And I was so happy. Even though I was on pain meds, I was high as a kite on pain meds, and I was still able to play, and I was so...
Do you feel better now than you did previous to all this?
Sure. Yeah.
This is an... And would you suggest brain surgery for everyone you know?
Well, I could name some people, but we're on the air now, and I shouldn't do that.
No, you should not do that. Now, I have in front of me, and by the way, we typically talk about this earlier in the podcast, but I will tell you, I'm so enthralled with the story because the most important thing typically we talk about is what we're drinking.
Oh.
And in this case, it's not all that exciting. Ann, tell us.
I think it's delicious.
And what is this?
This is a club soda with a splash of cranberry and lime.
And being that we're recording this at the holiday season, I'm
it's
having...
It's red and green. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's red and green. Yeah.
Well, that's true. So that does work.
It does.
That does work. Wow. I'm having their boozy cocktail with eggnog. Yeah. Yum. Eggnog and what else did he say? Rum. Rum. And let me tell you how good it is. So I looked up something.
Okay.
And I want you guys to answer this question. Don't answer it yet because ChatGPT answered part of it. But I want to see if you agree.
Okay.
Can music heal? Yes, was the answer, by activating brain regions for emotion, memory, movement, reducing stress, boosting mood chemicals like dopamine,
yes.
Lowering heart rate,
yes.
And blood pressure, mm-hmm. Improving cognition, and offering emotional expression. Music promotes healing through cognitive and motor function, physical health, memory and connection, self-expression, and music therapy is now something that is done regularly because of all of it, what I said is above is true.
Right.
Would you? You've experienced it firsthand. Do you agree?
Music heals, and it is true. And I've healed people throughout my life by playing music, and now this time I was healed.
Explain how you've healed. Give me an example.
Music makes me happy.
Of someone you have healed because of music.
His mother...
She had dementia, and she was in a home that I couldn't visit her in.
It was during COVID.
But for 9 or 10 weeks in a row, I got to work with her on Zoom or FaceTime.
iPod. Yeah, iPad.
Anyway, I started to sing to her every week, and I sang always by Irving Berlin because it was their wedding song. And at first, she wouldn't respond. And as the weeks went by, she started to sing with me. And then the last week before she caught COVID and we lost her, she was singing with me. Just like that. That was all the proof I needed.
You once told me, because I've interviewed you several times before, and I remember you once told me that you could teach anyone to sing.
Sure.
Really?
Even you.
On key?
Yeah.
Why not?
I don't know. I mean, do you really believe that that is true and that there are benefits to that?
Yes, absolutely. Because as I said before, making music uses more parts of your brain than any other activity. Why would it not be a good thing to work with a singer, to work with somebody to teach them to sing?
Do you know what the other thing we could do to enhance every part of our brain? We can have peppermint ice cream from Pederino's restaurant.
Oh, my favorite.
You will take a taste.
Okay.
Wow,
I
will.
This will, the surgery you thought changed your life, no, not compared to peppermint ice cream. Not from Pederino's restaurant. What do you think?
Oh, it's heavenly.
Do they make it here? Oh, my God.
Yes.
Oh, my
they
God,
do.
They
really do.
Wow.
It's delicious.
And Anne wrote a song called Peppermint Tea.
So
that's
really?
One, that's her favorite kind of tea is peppermint.
Yeah. How many songs do you know?
I don't know, 400 or 500, maybe.
That you could do off the top of and Mark is saying
600,
more than that.
600, yeah. He's got my song list.
And how many do you think you can do?
At least 1,000, I suppose, but by memory.
Wow.
And then if it's music's in front of me, endless.
Well, right. All right, so I need to talk about Pettirino's Restaurant. That's where we are right now at 150 North Dearborn. Now, if you come to Chicago, if you're in Chicago and go to the theaters of Chicago,
yeah,
you will or should go to Pettirino's Restaurant. We are right in the heart, or this restaurant is right in the heart of the theater district. In fact, adjacent to the Goodman Theater. You guys at one point in time played at this restaurant. You played jazz here, did you not?
Yeah.
There was a piano bar type of a thing, and I played here quite a few times.
Yeah, yeah. I think you've played everywhere around Chicago, but no matter, you have played here as well. And the specialty items on the menu are endless at Pettirino's. It's true Italian food. It's priced the way you want things to be priced. But it's the atmosphere of this place. All of the caricatures on the wall. By the way, I need to talk to the management here. You need to be on the wall. I mean, truly, These are Chicago institutions, but we have mayors. Well, let's talk about other people we have on the wall here. A lot of performers that have been through Chicago. A lot of performers that perform regularly in Chicago are here, too. This is all at Pettirino's Restaurant, where they offer live jazz on Monday nights. Pettirino's Restaurant on Dearborn, 150 North Dearborn Street in Chicago. You have played all over the world, so I'm going to ask you your... And I've got some questions at the end that I do need to ask you. But before we get to these, and it's kind of part of this, all over the world, right? What is your favorite place that you played?
Wow. I think for me, it was Amsterdam.
Why?
I got to live there for 2 months, and I worked with the comedy group Boom Chicago, which was started by two Northwestern grads, and they're still there now in their over 30 years. And when I was there, Seth Meyers was in the troupe. But it was comedians on making up stuff, making up funny things.
Making up musicals, too.
With the audience's... Yeah. Approval and participation, and I was at a keyboard, and we made all this stuff up.
Really?
And by the time Ann came to visit, I had met a bass player, and he lived on a houseboat, and we did a bunch of jazz gigs there in Amsterdam.
On the houseboat?
Well, not on, we in clubs.
He lived on a houseboat,
so we practiced on the houseboat.
That's typical.
But we played in jazz clubs in Amsterdam, so that was my favorite 2 months, I think.
Did you like the vibe of that city?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, big time.
We went back like 2 years ago for their 30th anniversary, and it was incredible. But I like Paris.
We
had a lot of gigs
Paris.
In Paris. And
you have friends all over the world, I imagine.
we try to make friends everywhere we go.
I imagine that's true. All right, now, the questions I ask everyone that you cannot escape from. The best job... Mark, that you ever had?
I just answered.
Okay. Easy enough. Anne?
The best job I ever had? Let's see. I don't know. Just singing at the Harris Theater one night. Mark and I did an a cappella song, and the place was filled with like 1,500 people, and they just went crazy.
We sang the national anthem for the Cubs and the White Sox.
Yeah.
Those were good ones.
That is cool. Yeah. Is it as hard to sing as they say?
It's
There's
very
an echo,
difficult.
Echo, 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 echo.
Right, because you're there. Do you actually hear that echo coming back?
Oh, yeah.
That's got to be hard to sing.
Oh,
that.
Yeah.
But I was talking about the song and how it goes to different keys, especially toward the end of the song. Is that hard? The national anthem,
well,
not for
I,
you?
I arranged it for two voices.
It's a big range, but it's okay. I think
I gave her the high notes.
Can you do six bars of that now?
Say can you see by the dawn's early light or the
That's good. Very good.
Yeah, we're auditioning for baseball.
Very, very nice. What is the worst job?
We know this one. Yeah. So one time we had a gig at a place in Old Town called That Steak Joint.
Okay. Oh,
and
I remember that.
Do you remember that place?
Yeah, yeah.
They decided they had a piano behind the bar. So the bartender was like...
Bumping into me.
Going past Mark.
Drinks.
And knocking him over every single time. And what they did was they rolled back prices to 1965. So there was a line out the door at 4 p.m. for like $5 ribs. And I had to somehow get from the front door to sit on the piano on the bar like Kitty from Gunsmoke. And you couldn't get the people's attention because they were starving. They were waiting for like 2 hours for those ribs. And the bartender was knocking Mark over. It was just, we couldn't even hear each other. It was insane.
I always thought one of the hardest jobs for a performer, Mark, you've done this. You have too, Ann. Mark, you've done this time and time again. Play at a piano bar where people haven't come necessarily to see you.
Yeah.
They've come to drink or to meet with friends or whatever. Is that as hard as I'm thinking?
Well, it's not because, for example, I play jazz every Saturday at the Tortoise Club and people come in and talk. Because
and you've been doing that forever.
Since it opened 13 years ago. But I have such good bass players and drummers that we just get lost in the music. It doesn't matter if people are talking or clapping, and sometimes they clap and sometimes they talk.
I've never been there when they're not clapping when you're there. That can't be. I wonder about this too. You meet a couple and you're performing, and they come up to you with their favorite song.
Yeah.
I will now ask you what yours is as a couple.
Well, it would have to be Our First Dance, isn't it?
I don't know. Tell me, what was that?
It's the first song I heard her sing when we were on that boat that The
and
Spirit
it
of Chicago.
Wasn't the national anthem.
No.
It was not.
No.
It was Sunday Kind of Love.
Oh.
And as soon as I heard her sing that, I thought, there's a singer.
All right. So for most people, Mark, it's, let's be honest, you're attracted by the way a person looks or acts. Were you most attracted by the way Anne sang?
Or the way she looked?
I didn't ask that.
Oh.
Definitely.
It was a tie.
Okay. I guess I could have gotten him in trouble with that answer, right?
Yeah. There's a story, actually, when we were at the Drake and my purse was stolen that first night, Buddy said to Mark, "How'd you let her purse get stolen?" And Mark said, "Well, I wasn't looking at her purse."
And nothing has changed after all these years. All right, Mark, what makes you the happiest?
Music. Easy. Easy. Easy answer.
Any genre?
Any genre. Jazz is my favorite. I was trained classic. I love gospel. I love blues. I love pop. I love funky music.
Who's your favorite performer? You could see a concert, any concert ever. Would it be Taylor Swift? And if not, who?
No.
I'd probably go back in time and hear Buddy Charles again. He was the best I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Legendary musician. And?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, best performer. What were the questions? Best performer.
What makes you the happiest?
Oh, making music. And I know for sure that it can change your mood because throughout the pandemic, we would, like, be, you know, kind of trying to encourage each other to get up off the couch, and we streamed a bunch of live shows, and we had to rehearse for those. And so when we got together, we're looking forward to rehearsing a bunch of new music, and we, you know, lay down some tracks. And so we're going to be singing. Anyway, every time we made music, it just lifted our mood. So, yeah,
and
creating together.
If you could go back in time and see anyone.
Oh, back in time?
In concert, who would it be?
I'd like to currently see Jamie Cullum.
Oh.
I'm a huge Jamie Cullum fan.
From the UK,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Why him?
Because he does everything he does, he treats with a jazz sensibility, and yet he's modernizing like Cole Porter. He's really doing it his own way, and I feel like there's a lot of stars out there. I'm surprised he's not way up at the top.
Yeah, now I'm going to have to go back.
Yeah, you've got to listen to him.
And listen to him more.
Very
yeah.
fresh arrangements. It's kind of like what we try to do with the Great American Songbook is put something fresh into it, like make it a bossa nova, make it something... Yeah.
Cool. I not even thought about that. For you, what is the best thing about Chicago, Mark?
Chicago?
Yep.
Well, certainly not the winter weather, but I'll tell you, there are wonderful musicians here. There's wonderful crowds that like to listen to music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people are friendly here. It's not like New York. It's relaxed.
Okay, so you've performed in New York and
many times.
Right, and many, many places. Is this the best place to perform? Chicago?
I don't know. Paris has to be up there.
What is it about Paris?
Oh, the Europeans know American music better than Americans. Yeah. I'm sorry, Americans.
Are you talking about mostly the classical?
No. They know our popular music.
Really?
And they don't talk. They listen. They become quiet, and they really, really pay attention to us performing.
Yeah, they're not listening on earbuds. They're actually
listening.
Yeah, and anything live happens in front of them, they're involved right away. Like, there are street performers. There are, people.
Really?
It's just a scene, yeah.
What is your favorite thing about Chicago?
My favorite thing about Chicago? Yeah, I guess it's the people, the community. There seems to be communities of musicians and singers, and then there's communities of, people I work out with. And, it's just great. You can introduce those communities to each other, and everyone becomes friends. And yeah.
So someone I have to get on this podcast, actually, friend of mine, Nancy Faust,
okay,
who used to be the organist for the Chicago White Sox.
Absolutely. Right?
Yeah. And she created
the
notion that now every baseball team has, and that is the idea of having a walk-off song or a walk-on song. Was her. So what would be his walk-off song, and what would be yours?
Oh, my God. At a sports event?
No, just in general.
Okay.
If you could play any song when Ann walks into a room or when Mark walks into a room, what would it be?
Wow, that's wild. What a great question.
I think you stumped us.
No, I didn't. You'll come up with something.
For him, I think I would play his song that he wrote, Feets Don't Fail Me Now.
Oh, yeah. That was
about
is the
Amsterdam.
Dutch word for bicycle.
What was that?
Feets is the Dutch word for bicycle. So I wrote a song called Feets Don't Fail Me Now because it's the bicycle capital of the world.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that song.
No, he
it's
wrote
an original.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. How many songs have you written?
A few dozen.
Well, that's a lot for me. I've not written one.
Yeah.
Actually, I co-authored one, but that's a whole other story. What would be his song?
His song would be Feets Don't Fail Me Now. So what would be my song?
Yeah.
I know. It's very hard.
That's a hard question.
You mean like if you were on Johnny Carson?
So many hundreds and hundreds of songs, and she sings them so well. But just to pick one out, I don't know.
Something that makes you happy?
Well,
her?
Well, the one we just sang a minute ago, Joy Spring, that makes me happy.
Okay, we'll go with that.
That's a great time of year. It's my favorite time of year, and it's a bebop classic, and she sings it really well.
I agree. She sings everything really well. You guys are amazing. Mark and Ann Burnell,
thank you enough, Steve. Yeah.
These are Chicago legendary performers. I'm honored to have you here at Booth 46 at Pettirino's Restaurant. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Really cool.
That's a wrap from Booth 46 at Pettirino's, where the loop comes to life. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, keep the conversation going and keep exploring Chicago.